When we understand that Jesus is the son of Abraham, we look at the ministry that Jesus has toward the Jewish people and the promise that God made to Abraham that he would have a great nation. At the time of the coming of our Lord and Savior to this earth, the Jews felt like God had done away with them and that God wasn't going to use them anymore and might raise up a different nation. Down through the years, even to this very day, we've got those who still believe that. And God has assured the Jews, have assured all those who study his holy word, that God will never forget his promise. He will always keep his word. And you can just go to bank on that. And he will keep his promise to Abraham. And by Jesus being identified as the son of Abraham, we have the assurance that God will keep his promise to Abraham and he would have a great nation. The blessing of that nation, when we bless the Jews, the Jewish nation, God blesses us. When we curse the Jewish nation, Israel, God will curse us. And the nations of the world, and America especially, needs to realize that. But also we have some blessings from Abraham, as we talked about, in that one of those blessings is that for us as Gentiles, we would receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What a tremendous blessing, because Jesus is the seed. And then as Jesus, as the son of David, of the promise that God made to David that he would have one of his descendants would reign on his throne when Israel is the ruling nation of the world at the second coming of Christ. Not now, but at the second coming of Christ. These two promises will be fulfilled. Jesus as the son of Abraham and Jesus as the son of David. Jesus will come back. He will destroy the armies of the world, that of Satan and of the Antichrist. He will set up his army. He will set up his kingdom, and Israel will be the ruling nation, and Jesus will reign on the throne of David. What a marvelous assurance we have of that. But now Jesus was mainly known through the scriptures. The term Son of Man is used a great deal, and the term Son of Man is not interchangeable with the son of Abraham or the son of David. When you read those terms in the scriptures, they're talking about exactly the ministry that is involved with those terms. And so as we look at the term of the Son of Man, we find in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, you have other occasions when Jesus was approached as the son of Abraham or as the son of David, and a Gentile wanted help and could not receive it because as the son of Abraham and as the son of David, he was only for the Jews, and he must go to the Jews first. But as the Son of Man, Jesus is for everyone. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's talking about every soul on the face of this earth. And man, what a tremendous ministry we have in that. In John chapter 12 and verse 20, John chapter 12 and verse 20, we find that Jesus was preparing the disciples about his death, burial, and resurrection that was to happen within just a couple of weeks. In fact, chapter 12 of John, he begins to explain what's going to happen just 6 days before his crucifixion. 6 days. And Jesus would be crucified. In 6 days, Jesus would be buried. In 6 days, Jesus would be raised. But that information just went over their heads. And Jesus was preparing their hearts and the apostles' hearts about that. That's the reason why he would not, when Lazarus got sick, and Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, wanted Jesus to come. He didn't go. He allowed Lazarus to die in order to teach them that 4 days that would die. He would be buried as Lazarus would be in the tomb for 4 days, and Jesus was just there 3 days. But as Lazarus came out of the tomb at the command of Jesus, so Jesus would be raised from the dead. Not at the end of the world, but then. And so in that preparation, taught about that. And then the next event that happened in that is when Mary While Jesus was in their house after the resurrection of Lazarus a few days later, she came in while they were at a meal, and she anointed the feet of Jesus with a very precious ointment. Very expensive. And the disciples said, you ought to have sold that and taken the money. And they realized Jesus would die and be buried and raised again the third day. And then the next day, on the first day of the week, Jesus went into Jerusalem. 6 days now. Now it's 5 days before his crucifixion. My, how that as he went into Jerusalem, the people rejoiced and they began to praise God and sing Hosanna to the highest and renounced him as the King of the Jews. And Jesus came in, and for the Jewish people, not just the people, but the leaders of the nation, the priests and the Sadducees and Pharisees, where they would know that he is their king, and they would reject him and crucify him instead of receiving him as their king. And thus they did. So again, in preparing their hearts, getting them ready for this, now we have an event where some Greeks come and they want to see Jesus. Now, these are not Jews. They're not converted Jews. They are a lot of Jews who lived in Greece, and their ancestors been there for years, which there were a lot of Jews that did this. These were certain Greeks that represents the Gentiles. So in verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now, Jesus' response is very important in that verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour dealt with the death of Jesus. There's other occasions where they wanted to crucify Jesus. They wanted to take him and destroy him. And they couldn't touch him because his hour hadn't come. Nothing was going to deter the will of God in this relationship. And now Jesus says the hour has come. And where my death, his crucifixion, would not be just for the Jews. It would be for everyone, for whosoever. And so in Luke chapter 12 and verse 8. Jesus brings this out earlier, which they should have learned. But just like most of us, we let these things go over our head. We don't pay much attention to them. And we miss the great, wonderful message of God. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 8, also I say unto you, whosoever, would you like that word? Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. It's not whosoever shall confess me before men and the Son of Abraham would confess you, or the Son of David, but the Son of Man. In that Jesus, as the Son of Man, is for whosoever. And my, what a blessing that is. And the hope that we have for everyone on the face of this earth, regardless of their race, regardless of their background, regardless of their social standing, regardless of anything else that they might think of, by the shed blood, have an opportunity to be born again by the shed blood of the Son of Man. And so Jesus as the Son of Man is for everyone, not just the Jews, but for everyone. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 56, Luke chapter 9 and verse 56, people have missed, and it's hard for them to understand. We feel like that Jesus came the first time to judge us and that to point out our sins. He didn't do that. He didn't come to destroy us. He came to save us. Look at that in Luke 9, verse 56. For the Son of Man, not the Son of Abraham, not the Son of David, but the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. He was going around to all the villages and letting the word out that he came not just to die for the Jews, but for everyone. Jesus didn't come to judge. He came to give his life that we might have everlasting life. Now Jesus will come to judge. We'll talk about that later, and especially as the Son of God. He comes back the second coming. He does not come as a babe in Bethlehem. He does not come to be spit upon. He does not come back to be mocked. He comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the first thing he does, when Jesus returns and we return with him, the first thing he does, he fights a battle. Hundreds and thousands of soldiers die. He comes to destroy. When he finished that battle of Armageddon, he goes south to the Mount of Olives. And as he stands on the Mount of Olives, it splits and enlarges the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And Jesus, after conquering the main nations of the world, gives out the decree that all the nations are to gather in that valley. He separates them as the shepherd would divide the sheep from the goats. Those that refuse to help the Jews during the tribulation period are considered and put in this area with the goats. Those that help the Jews with that of the sheep. The goats, those nations, are not reprimanded and said you need to repent. They are destroyed. He comes back the second time, not to bring salvation, but to bring judgment. And all throughout this, at the beginning, he rules with a rod of iron. So you see, as a Son of Man, he didn't come to destroy. As a Son of Man, he came to die for you and to die for me. Man, what a blessing it is. And his ministry, we look at that part of the ministry and have the assurance that we can have everlasting life because we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is wrapped up in that term of the Son of Man and what Jesus is doing in Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Here again, you find that term Son of Man is used in relation to the ministry in Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Not the son of David, not the son of Abraham, but the Son of Man would be crucified for us. Man, what assurance we have that we can have as Gentiles, every person, regardless of who they are, can have everlasting life because Jesus came as the Son of Man. And then in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, and this is why Jesus was born of a virgin, that he can be identified as the Son of Man. He took on that title as the son of Abraham and the son of David to assure the Jews that God hadn't forgotten them. God will keep the promise. But as a son of man, he paid the price for you and for me. And we can give the good news, the gospel to the world, that they can be redeemed by the Son of Man and his precious blood. Then we find in this ministry, he didn't just come to redeem us, but he came to give us a purpose in life. The Jews have a purpose and they have failed in that purpose. They're to be the elect nation. They're to be the nation that would honor and glorify God. And they turn inward. Now, as Gentiles, we're to have the purpose of being the body of Christ. We're his hands, we're his feet, we're his eyes, we're his tongue. And we're to tell the world about Jesus. And the good news that they can be born again. They can be changed to become a new creature. Man, what a tremendous thing. And that we have a purpose now. We're not just existing until the time comes where we die or Jesus comes back for us. We have a purpose in living each moment according to God's divine plan. And to demonstrate that, he reveals this to John, the apostle, the one who leaned on his breast, the one who seemed to be very close to him. And one of the three that Jesus used on special occasions of Peter, James, and John on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus reveals to him as the Almighty. And in that, God shows John seven candlesticks. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Not like unto the Son of Abraham, not like unto the Son of David, not like even unto the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot and girt about the paps with golden girdle. Jesus, as a Son of Man, is the head of the church, not the pastor, not the deacons, not anyone else. We give an account to him as the Son of Man. Man, what assurance we have that as two or three are gathered together in his name, as tonight, as we've come together, Jesus is in our midst as the Son of Man. He paid the price. He shed his blood for us. Man, what a wonderful blessing we have in the assurance and the love that is there. And so as a Son of Man, we find the grace of Jesus being bestowed upon us, the love of God being bestowed upon us in the matter that he would die for us. Now, as a Son of Man, Jesus will come back for us. Now, we're not talking about the second coming. The second coming is when he comes and every eye shall see him, and he comes in the clouds, and he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he fights the battle of Armageddon. We're not talking about that. We're talking about 7 years before that. Jesus will come as a thief in the night, and he will take us out before the tribulation period. Man, what assurance. What a blessed hope we have in that we will not have to go to Jesus' horrible time of the purging of the Jewish nation so that they would receive Jesus as the Son of Abraham, as the Son of David, but how that we will be taken out, that we might be married to him. And so in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37, Jesus talks about the rapture, talks about him coming back. We find in Thessalonians, it describes him as a thief in the night. It happens quicker than you can blink your eye. And so in Matthew 24 and verse 37, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Not the Son of Abraham, not the Son of David, not the Son of God, but the Son of Man. For as it was in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The flood represents the tribulation period. Noah was taken out in the ark, the door shut by God before the flood came. We'll be taken out by the Son of Man. What a ministry he has for us. And he will keep his word in that. In verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. The one shall be taken is talking about the rapture, where we're taken out. You know not what hour your Lord doeth come. What assurance we have of Jesus as the Son of Man. Then look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. We have Jesus identified not only as the Son of Abraham, as the Son of David, and as the Son of Man. But in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. And as you read the scriptures and when you find this term being used, this is the ministry that Jesus has, which is above all of the other ministries. As the Son of God, he's the Almighty. He is above all, not just the Jews, not just the church. He's above every creature on this earth. One day, every knee will bow. Every tongue says, today, every right bow. every tongue should confess. Right now, you have an opportunity to bow and to confess Jesus as the Son of God and be born again. If you don't, one day you will bow and you'll not be born again. You'll answer to the Almighty God. He is the mighty God. As the Son of God, He's over the demons. He's over everything that is involved in it. Look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 11. Mark chapter 3 and verse 11. Mark chapter 3 and verse 11. As Jesus, and this term is used in relation to them, as he was going about his ministry, the unclean spirits, which scared people to death of even thinking that one was near them or could be in them. This was power that they had no control over whatsoever. And still, the same is true today. But we find in Mark chapter 3 and verse 11, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, Jesus, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. As the Son of God, they had no power whatsoever. And Jesus had the power over the unclean spirits. Then look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 41. Luke chapter 4 and verse 41. Here again, now we find the term devils is used here. Whether you call them unclean spirits or devils, those that follow the devil and their power. Oh my. Jesus, not as the son of Abraham, not as the son of David, not as the son of man, but as the son of God. He is above all and has total control. And we have the victory in Jesus as the son of God. Luke chapter 4 and verse 41. Luke chapter 4 and verse 41. The devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. As the Son of God, he not only had the power over the demons, but he had power over nature. He controls it all. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. And Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. Man, what a scene that is there. And in verse 39, we find this storm had come about. And as he arose, and Jesus was asleep in the ship, and it was filling with water. But he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They couldn't understand this. What power does he have? Who is he? Well, now turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 32. We have another storm and they realize who he is. And Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Do you realize who you're serving? Not just the son of Abraham, not just the son of David, not just the son of man, but the son of God. All victory is ours. He has power over death. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 25. John chapter 5 and verse 25. John chapter 5 and verse 25. Man, what assurance we have of Jesus as the son of God. And John chapter 5 and verse 25. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Not the voice of the son of Abraham, not the voice of the son of David, not the voice of the son of man, but the voice of the Son of God. He has all power as the Son of God. Man, what a Savior that we have. Not only that he died for us, but as a son of God, he is supreme. He is the Almighty. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. And here we find the Son of God now used in a very important way. And I pray that you will understand this. We only have salvation through Jesus as the Son of God. There's nothing we can do to save our souls. There's nothing we can do to merit that salvation. There's nothing that we can do or pay to obtain that salvation. There's not a man on the face of this earth. There's not a person on the face of this earth. There's not a creature on this face of the earth that has the power to change you. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're trying our best to change one another and we fail utterly. The only way you could be changed is by the divine power of God, and that's through Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Look at it now in John 3:18. John 3:18. Jesus said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Not the only begotten of the son of Abraham or David or of man, but the only begotten Son of God. Only by God's power can you be redeemed. Only by God's power can you be changed. Only by God's power can you, as one who is created lower than the angels, can be changed to become a child of God and have a position higher than the angels. And that's by the Son of God. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 31. John chapter 20 and verse 31. John chapter 20 and verse 31. Here again, we find that term, Son of God, is used. And oh, how powerful it is. And where we need to worship him as the Son of God. And when you worship him as the Son of God, you will worship him as the Son of Man. As the son of Abraham and the son of David, but by the Son of God is the key to it all. In John 20 and verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There is no other name. Only the name of Jesus whereby you could be saved. Jesus, the Son of God. By him, as the Son of God, we can have victory over it be demons, everything that's in it, whether it be nature, whether it be animals, whether it be humans, whether it be demons, or whatever it might be. We have the victory through Jesus as the Son of God. Look at it in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5. Oh man, what a tremendous victory we have. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. The Jews thought they could overcome the world because Jesus is the son of Abraham, and they have utterly failed. They thought they could overcome the world because Jesus is the son of David, and they've utterly failed. The church thinks they can overcome the world because they believe that Jesus is the son of man. Though he died on the cross for our sins, he was buried and raised again, but only as the son of God does he have true victory and the power. All power, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and earth. As a son of God, we have victory over everything that might be brought up, that has been brought up, or ever will be brought up. We have the victory through Jesus Christ, so we don't have to be afraid. We can stand in the victory when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Verse 13 of that same chapter. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God repeats it twice, in that we can be assurance of our, have assurance of our salvation and know that we've been redeemed by the blood of Lamb when we come to Jesus as the Son of God. Are you serving a religion or a philosophy? Or are you serving the Son of God? Oh, his ministry, yes, as a son of Abraham, to remind the Jews God keeps his word and to remind us that he does. He served as the son of David, given assurance that his promise will be kept and that his second coming, this will be fulfilled. But also as a son of man, Jesus paid the price. But as a son of God, he came not to destroy us, but to save us. But as the son of God, we have total victory. We have assurance of our salvation. We can live that victorious life. We can conquer the world with Jesus as the Son of God and give them the good news that Jesus, as the Son of Man, paid the price for our sins. Give assurance that God will keep his promise, whether to the Jews or to the Gentiles. When God says it, that settles it. Oh, what a blessing we have. All because Jesus is the Son of God. For God so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is your faith in the Son of God? Have you confessed Jesus as the Son of God? Do you really believe that he has all the power and you have nothing to be afraid of? Simply to obey. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father,